Oh, nice. Well, welcome. Thank you. All right, if you will join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Is there any questions, comments, or motions?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you call the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. So staff has requested that we table the public hearing in consideration to approve 1902-AN, 1901-ZC, 1901-S, and 1908-DR due to a signposting error.
I move we table until the August 6, 2019 meeting the public hearing in consideration to approve 1902-AN, 1901-ZC, 1901-S, and 1908-DR.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table that. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Public hearing and consideration to approve Envision CUNA 2019 comprehensive plan text and maps, including the future land use map for the city of CUNA, Idaho, and resolution number R49-2019. Wendy Howell.
It's finally ready to go.
Yay.
Wendy Howell, for the record. I'm the zoning director. I've made all the changes that have been requested, and unless there's additional changes, it's just
the result. Okay. Did everybody get a chance to look through that? We've been going at this for a while. I'm excited to get this in place. It's been a good long process with a lot of good input from the community. Very, very pleased with the way this all went.
Is there a sign-in sheet?
Okay. All right. This is a public hearing about the Envision CUNA Comprehensive Plan. I did not have anyone sign in to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in who would like to do so now? All right. Seeing none, we, just as a matter of procedure, need to go ahead and open the public hearing for comment. So, however, council wants to do this. Have some more talk and consideration before we close the public hearing or whatever is fine.
I think we chatted about it before and had noticed one more public hearing just to make sure, you know, in the event that any of the changes we previously requested were considered material. So we were making sure we were crossing all our T's and dotting our I's. Before I make a motion, do you need to read the resolution part, or I don't want to step on your toes?
No, you go right ahead.
Okay. So I then move we close the public hearing, and that we approve the Envision CUNA Comprehensive Plan, as well as resolution number R49-2019. And direct staff to prepare a resolution for approval under the consent agenda at the next council meeting.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to close the public hearing and consider approving resolution number 49-2019 to have this prepared for the next meeting. Is there any further discussion?
Mayor?
Yes.
Wendy, we were having problems with Ada County accepting this. Should there be anything in here about Ada County's reluctance to a certain degree? I mean, is there a legal reason why we should put their hesitation in here?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And
Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Sorry, I just went with the standard language here.
Yeah, so just to tag on to that, I've had multiple conversations with the county commissioners. Their reluctance stemmed from them being new and not having had an in-depth look at our comprehensive plan and not being completely certain that they agreed with everything in it. So I can't say that their reluctance is because they're actually against it, more that they're a little less informed about it. They are taking on kind of a new role, and they're swimming in it deep. So I think they've had a hard time keeping up with what was going on. So I don't think they're terribly against it, although they did send us that letter.
Is there a necessity of acceptance by them for us to proceed?
No, we can go ahead and approve our comment.
Okay.
The most thing that we needed from them was the approval on the area of city impact, and we already did that. However, that was with the old Board of Commissioners.
So. Okay.
So apologies for not noting the error with how that was written. Do you want me to withdraw my motion or just amend it?
I think you can just amend it if you would prefer.
I would like to amend my motion to remove the direction for staff to prepare a resolution for approval at the next meeting.
Second stands.
Motion made and seconded to amend the motion asking staff to prepare the findings for the next meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And this is on the entire motion, I'm sorry. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. Next item is consideration to approve $7,000 from FY19 contingency funds for the Senior Association busing services. And so this stems from the conversation that we had at the last meeting. The seniors had, originally they were looking at $13,000. They have looked closer at the books, and in order to continue their services this year, are asking for $7,000 instead of $13,000. One thing that I think is quite notable is that this is a service that is open to everyone in the community, and people that need a ride to the doctor or wherever the case may be can call ahead and schedule that. Well, Chris, is there anything I'm missing there you want to add on?
The busing service does bus the seniors, the disabled, but if Joan Smith is at home and they only have one vehicle, she can call for bus service and pay, I believe it's $2 or $4, and can go to grocery store, or she can go to appointments outside the city. It also takes the seniors to visit other senior centers for interaction, that type of thing. So. It is available overall, and so they hope to include that information to the public more at large so that can help defray some of the costs so that they need less assistance.
Okay.
Great. Well, I know that there's a shortfall this year from federal funding being cut and that sort of thing, whereas we haven't had to contribute as much in the past, but I think it's an important service, especially considering that we don't yet have any public transport in the city. So with that, I move we approve the expenditure of $7,000 from the FY19 contingency fund to pay for senior association busing services.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve $7,000 from the FY19 contingency funds to fund the shortfalls for the senior association busing services. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Continued discussion on council pay. I think one thing we did notice was that in order for this to happen this year, it has to be agreed upon by the August 6th meeting to allow time for the dual notification publication.
It has to be published twice. the publication dates would fall outside of the second meeting in August. So in order to hit the deadline, if there's going to be a change, it needs to be approved at the August 6th meeting, so not the August 20th. Thank you.
Okay. And Greg, did you want to go over any of the stuff you had discussed?
Yes. I'm trying to get to my notes of stuff here, and that's not working out. But, yeah, of course. I had lunch with Councilmember Cardoza the other day. And if you've never had lunch with him, you should. It's entertaining. we discussed several of the items we'd went over before. And I guess the biggest one was he was concerned with the structure of docking pay versus just it's set. And if you miss meetings, that's how it is. We both agreed that the training for a new council member is key, we both agree, going to the AIC training for a first-time elected official, that meeting is pretty much, you should go to that. I mean, it's just invaluable. We disagree on a few little things, like the structure and, if we should get paid based on attendance or not. But all in all, it was a good meeting. And, I think the biggest thing we need to take from it is we need to establish some sort of training, guideline for new council members and kind of more along the lines of what, Council President Ruben Vonderhard came up with. I guess that's pretty much it. Richard, you want to add anything?
No, I think that pretty much is what we discussed in great detail. I was worried about who was going to pay, so my mind was elsewhere.
And for the record, he flipped and he lost, so he bought lunch. Even better. Oh, it was even his coin. He didn't even use a trick coin.
That brings us up to a councilman should at least have an expense account.
Oh, no, that's another thing. Okay. Warren, did you have any?
I do think coming around to the training aspect, I kind of made a point about that, being paid kind of half of what the person next to you was, but there's a realization of how important that really is, and so, having that included is not necessarily a bad thing if there's ways we can find a way around it, because the way it read, we did talk about the fact that they have to pay out of their pocket, the city attorney rightfully so and respectfully so got up and clarified that there might be ways we can come around that to get the proper training in place, and so I do feel like that's important. you know, if they're not, if the new council member is not able to attend a particular day training for the people no fault of their own. So, you know, and I think it's important to look at the fact that when I had asked why we need to feel like we need to be the front runners in turning it to a attendance-based pay, and we discussed the fact that that potentially was how everyone did it around here, when in fact that is not the case, and everyone is salary. I think it's important to still consider and revisit that aspect of it, just based on the words that Councilman Cardozo and myself have said, to keep it at a salary level and not an attendance level, because of the sheer importance of how much work is done outside of the council meetings and not just attending the meeting. So, you know, I don't know if that discussion really can go anywhere from here, but you also looked at keeping the pay the same, but splitting that out between 30 meetings instead of the known 24, and that's to accommodate the 6 additional meetings that may or may not occur. So you're also looking at lowering the pay to council members if those extra 6 meetings do not occur. And I don't agree with that, based on the fact that the city council pay has not been adjusted even since 2005, I believe is what it was. So there's a few things that still really concern me moving forward with that. But, you know, if there's a compromise eventually we can all come to by the August 6th meeting, that's definitely something we have.
Okay.
So I guess one thing we were trying to do with tying pay to the training was to find a way to incentivize it, because I don't know how we make it mandatory. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we can force somebody to attend training. So do you have any thoughts or preferences in terms of, because I mean, right now we already strongly encourage it, I think. So are we wanting to just maintain the status quo, or is there any sort of change we want to make to that? What are folks' thoughts?
Is anyone amenable to something that would push a little harder towards someone having a training?
Creating a carrot or stick, if you will.
You know, I think pushing the importance of it is a great thing, and finding a way to really, in a sense, not force people, but encourage them to do that is very important. I do think having that communication aspect of it, and then following it up with the alternative of having a training if needed, if they're not able to attend that first one, and giving another option out there. I don't feel any newly elected council member would be against training. I do know that a set date and time sometimes may be out of their control. And I think giving them another option, post-council meeting, anything like that, would be a good way to just kind of ensure everyone does the training. I don't know if the financial incentive or penalty, however you want to look at it, is appropriate. I do think having that added option after, before a council meeting or something like that, having someone there to be able to provide that would almost force them to be there anyways. So, I don't know if that would be an option.
Okay. How about a whipping post?
Be a good option, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of feel like we're getting somewhere here with some kind of a compromise anyway. I don't know.
Since we have to potentially be deciding on something next time, did you guys have any thoughts on, I guess technically with what we proposed with switching to the meeting-based system, the intent was that council pay would stay the same or potentially go up, if depending on how involved you were. But if we're not switching to a meeting-based system, do you guys have input about whether you want to see council pay or council president pay either of those modified or stay the same.
Quite well, from what I see, I think most of the cities do have something different for council president. And I don't know how anybody feels about that, but council president does have to be ready to step in at a moment's notice and take care of some things. So I certainly do feel it's appropriate if that's what the council
directs. I do agree with that 100%. You know, I think the council president does absolutely put in some added responsibility and some added work into that position. I personally, and I think I've communicated this, I make enough money as it is. I don't feel like there's any need to increase council pay. I worry about decreasing council pay just based on how things are looking, just at status quo. You're not decreasing council pay taking the 9,000 divided by the 30 by any means. I just do think having those six extra meetings is a little presumptuous because they're not technically on the calendar as opposed to the 24 meetings. So staying status quo is perfectly acceptable in my opinion. I do think the council president does deserve, you know, a little bit greater pay raise from that respect. And if you wanted to look at paying them $100 more per month, maybe, or per meeting, maybe looking at just kind of seeing what that could calculate to over the period of the 26 meetings and maybe making that the salary for the council president. So that's kind of what my thought is on that.
Okay. Richard, I know you were always kind of opposed to that, at least when you were council president, so you were the one most affected by it.
I always felt it was the council president's prerogative. There is a lot of time that you have to account for that's unexpected. So I have no problem with a difference of pay level for the council president. When this discussion is over, I would like to get on the mayor's pay though. With a suggestion, which would be a different issue, but I would like to bring that up.
You're cutting my pay already?
Just whipping post.
I thought you were saying that you wanted to receive the mayor's salary. That's what I thought you were saying. Yeah. So sorry if I laughed.
That's to be seen, I guess. So, one thing I did notice, looking at, and thank you, Nancy, for what you sent us. It seems like we're one of the few councils that does not receive benefits. I don't think any of us here would be interested in the benefits that I'm aware of, but it might be something in the near future when we get to be the size of Meridian, that the benefits might be a good drawing card for well-qualified individuals to run for the office. So it might be something not to discuss this year, but maybe in next year. So.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Gigray.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you're considering this, because of the time constraints that you're under, you're going to have an ordinance if you're going to make any change to this whatsoever at the August meeting that a majority will support. Because I assume in order to make it and publish it in time, you're going to have to waive the three readings and you're going to have to approve it that particular night so that it can move on and be published. And so doing a lot of amendments at another meeting and going through those gyrations in my mind would be very problematic. So I do think it's not an action item on your agenda, but I do think you could each say, I would support this. I would support this, and you know that you have a majority that would support this, then clerk and myself or whatever, we know what ordinance to draft for your consideration that could be in your packet for the next meeting, or if you can't come to a consensus and it doesn't look like it would happen, you just put not have it on the agenda.
We do have it listed as an action item.
But it's still going to have to happen.
Right, it still has to get done. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Well, are we down to then determining what the council president pay would be? Is that kind of where we're at?
I think so.
Is there any dissentment to the extra fee for the council president? I guess I have not.
So, elephant in the room. So I'm council president, obviously. So I am trying to think about this both in terms of what I know about the role, given that I'm holding it, how I feel like it may have changed since the last time we talked about this, and then what we might expect of somebody in the council president role in the future. So I think as it's developed with the kind of additional responsibility that goes along with the role, I think it would make sense, as we suggested last time, to kind of create some sort of brief description just so people have a clear understanding of what the expectation is, so they know whether it's something that they want to do or not. So as long as we put that in, I think that the additional pay would be merited, as long as we're clear about what additional duties would go with it. I think with when we figured it out to a per meeting rate, it was like 25%. It was going to be like 300 and 400. So I think it was going to be like 9 and 12 was the idea if everybody went, you know, to all the meetings they were supposed to go to. So that was kind of where we started out. But, you know, obviously that was just to start a discussion. So whatever folks think might be appropriate in that regard.
Okay.
I guess we could start the conversation now and then always decide definitively what goes in the ordinance next time if we're modifying it.
Yeah, I think that would be probably appropriate. We can come up with the ordinance, at least a draft of it, so that we can modify it by the next meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so do we want to talk about now, or do we want to talk about it next time?
Let's go ahead and just start so that we can at least get something drafted. And
so, personally, I feel if our salary is $9,000 a year, council president should be $12,000. I think that's kind of the number we were on before. What are your two thoughts on that? Based on, I mean, Brianna fills in currently because she's president, council president, but filled in for the mayor here just recently. You know, she's done stuff at the during the mayor's table dinner, you know, different events that makes her go above and beyond. I to me, that's reasonable. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree 100% because, you know, you certainly talk about that added responsibility. So, you know, there's no reason I don't look at her responsibilities exceeding ours. That 25% means it's there. So, there's not as good
as it is. Okay.
I thought $100 a month or $1,200 a year would be sufficient for the position. Personally, I've been in that position. There are months where you have basically no appearance for the mayor, and there's months you may have three, or I did, I have three. So, I don't know. I thought $100 a month or $1,200 more a year would be sufficient for that position.
And I think the way that we were looking at it in the job description that we kind of wrote up included not only that, but tried to find a way to kind of creatively take into account, like, whether responsibility sort of falls to the council president in the absence of others doing a task. So, like, making motions or making sure that the record contains you know, the legal justification for a decision or that sort of thing, that the council president would sort of, I think the way we phrased it, I can probably pull it up, but that they would kind of act as in a mentorship role, including, you know, during meetings, taking responsibility, again, to the extent others aren't, because we don't want to make it seem like other people can't make motions and stuff, but for ensuring that, you know, motions are made and are phrased properly, or that the, you know, that the record is complete with, you know, kind of trying to help foster conversation to ensure that we have a complete record, stuff like that, if that makes sense.
Well, you're already here, and some of the duties that you're saying, I think our city attorney is here to do that, or at least to lead us in the right direction. So, again, I thought that $100 a month would be sufficient. So, you're already here drawing a salary as a city council person. So.
Right. I guess, you know, just looking at the experience that I've had since the last time we had this discussion and how I feel like it's different, I do feel like we've kind of fallen into a pattern where I feel in some ways that as council president, I need to differently prepare for the meetings, knowing that I will be having to direct conversation and that I will have to make the motion or that I will have to articulate the legal reasoning and stuff. It just hasn't happened that I haven't been the one that does that unless I'm not here for a meeting.
And you're saying 300 more a month?
3,000 a year.
Or 3,000 a year. So,
And I'm not trying to say that I'm wed to any certain dollar amount. I was just wanting to make sure that it was clear kind of why we'd thrown that number out in the first place, that it wasn't just like, you know, showing up at the recent Arbor Day thing or, you know, that it's more of a continual additional duty, if that makes sense. At least that's how we kind of.
I'll follow suit. That's fine. That makes three.
Okay. Okay. So then let's go ahead and look at making the job description of the council president. We'll add that dollar amount in there. Can we bring that back to the next meeting?
I was just, oh, and I guess the training piece, it wouldn't be reflected in an ordinance, but we would just kind of decide amongst ourselves that we would want to, you know, if we did want to potentially plan to incorporate the annual training, if we do, that we'd suggested, in addition to, you know, highlighting the importance or, you know, whatever of the newly elected official training / potentially trying to recreate it.
Okay.
If needed.
Wendy?
I don't know if this helps or not, but in the comprehensive plan that you just adopted, 6B, one of the goals or actions is to create an official orientation training program for the newly elected officials.
Nice going, Wendy.
Good. Yes, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, with regards to the next meeting, it would be my advice that if you're going to increase and provide for a separate salary for the council president, we would amend Kansas City Code Section 162. The description of the council president's job is in 164. So if you want to add some verbiage, it would be my recommendation to keep these two sections separate and not mix up the additional duties of the. And if you have some ideas in that regard, certainly the mayor has the authority to set the agenda for the next meeting. If you have some language for 164 on the council president's duties, then you can draft that for your consideration. consideration the next meeting would include those duties provision.
I will circulate to everybody the language that we had previously included in our memos for further comment, and then you can also comment on if you see any potential issues with how it's phrased or anything like that.
Or, and if you want, you can send it to the clerk and send it to the council.
Sure, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you.
I will also note that Meridian has the standing committee of like citizens that look at this issue every 2 years, like every time it's eligible to be considered again, and they look at surrounding cities and whatever, and they make a recommendation. So I kind of like that idea, and maybe we would want to try to set that up for next time. I mean, obviously there's no time this time, but and then that committee would just kind of always be reporting back and saying, yes, we think you guys might consider a change, or no, we don't think a change is necessary.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be held to this timeline for that type of committee. So.
No, just, so yeah, it would good. Automatically resuscitate.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea.
Okay. Mayor, if I could have the floor. I know it goes a little bit against Warren's thinking, but I would think once a year in January after elections, which would be every second year, that a class put on by Bill or one of his representatives or city attorney would be very beneficial, if nothing else, a reminder to each one of us individually, collectively, of our responsibilities. But it would sure be an eye-opener, done in the right format for anybody new that's coming in. I think it's one of the better features of what Madam President proposed. I think that should be mandatory. The only drawback I have is maybe it needs to be in the evening when everybody can attend it without reservation as to job difficulties. So I would
we
like
could,
to see that.
Probably do that first meeting in January after seats are changed. Generally, try to keep kind of a light agenda for that meeting anyway.
Exactly.
That would be good as soon as somebody sits in the seat.
And I think your office would be receptive to that, wouldn't they, Bill?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we'd be happy to do that. I would be encouraged to that. Because I'm the one that comes to most of the meetings, and I want to make sure we're on the same page. Had a lot of years of experience in this kind of stuff. I would welcome the opportunity to do it. I think it's a very good idea.
What is your duration of time? 1 hour? 1 hour and a half?
Well, I think it's going to, I would work with the mayor because he sets the schedule of the meeting. And I think he's got to decide, we need to decide what your attendance and attention span would be. But
that's pretty short.
You know, lawyers can go on and on and get into subsections if you want. But I would say clearly an hour would be needed, maybe an hour and a half would be kind of the next hour.
I would agree.
Yeah, I was going to say my personal preference would still be, if at all possible, that the new folks just go to the newly elected officials academy. It exists exactly for that purpose. It's going to cover stuff at an intro enough level. It's an all day thing. And I am concerned about, and that's kind of why we wrote it to really push for people to go to that if they can. Because I just think having other people in the audience to ask questions and stuff too, I think can be really enlightening. Like there might be questions you wouldn't have even thought of, but you know, that would end up coming up for you later. And then just, I worry about burnout. Depending on if we're trying to present all the same material, either in the same type of format or in a more condensed format, just with how info dense that could potentially be, you know. So anyway, if they can't attend it, then we need to figure out some way that they'll still get that info. So
I just feel that if Bill was to put on a presentation or our legal department, the newcomer would feel more relaxed hearing it in his own environment from his own city attorney. I think it would be a more relaxed, and it would be in an auditorium that maybe on a 1-to-1, 1-to-4, more would be collected from that discussion than you would going to Boise. But that's my feeling. So.
Okay, that's good. I think we can work.
It should be mandated. At least that meeting would be mandated to all four of us.
I don't want to belabor the point, but what do you mean by mandated, and what kind of device are you thinking we would use in order to make it mandatory?
It would have to be an agreeable date to all four of us, and if he could not make it, or she or he could not make it, then he would have to pay for his own meeting with Bill or his representative. It would be mandated that he at least have that meeting. And if he didn't make it to that meeting, regardless of sickness, getting hit by a car in a parking lot by an attorney, I don't care.
Standing
the reason.
On a rolling chair.
A rolling chair, that would be another good one. So, I would think that meeting would have to be mandated. If it's missed, then it would be up to him to make it up individually with Bill's office. So
what are your thoughts on how we would? I mean, I hear what you're saying in terms of adopting our suggestion of the person would have to pay for it, but what's to stop them from just going, well, I'm not going to schedule it, and if I don't schedule it, there's nothing to pay for. So.
You have that right now. So.
Well, I know. That's why we were suggesting changing to the.
You're hoping, or I'm hoping, that the person that takes the responsibility of the position takes enough responsibility that he would want to go to that class to find out what he's stepped into, what he's taken on. I can't imagine anybody not wanting to meet with our legal department on a 1-to-1 basis just to find out what he's entered, what he's being paid to do, what his constituents require of him. So,
I think having that added option right there, and someone that's running for city council would want to do that. They would want to go through that training. Having that additional option there, something that the four elected officials can agree on with the legal team and say, hey, let's do it this night, and everyone knows that works. I think just having that there is going to get all four people through that training. Mandating it is important. Telling them, hey, this isn't optional. You just need to do it or you are going to have to pay. It's not going to stop that elected official from saying, whoa, too bad, so sad, I'm not going to do it. But I just can't fathom anyone that ran for city council being that, the word I'm thinking, but that against going through a training when it's been agreed upon and worked out with them. I think coming at it and saying, fine, if you don't, your pay is half your pay is a little off based on the responsibilities that we equally have. I think having that additional option is going to get everyone involved in something they can set as a new council. And I do think them throwing it out there, hey, we are going to ask you to pay for a training if you do not attend this meeting, is not a bad thing. And that's going to have that added take of that is important. Going.
Would we want to make it an automatic thing? That if you miss it and, hey, you're going to have to pay for it, that we automatically deduct the amount from the pay so that it's like a prepaid thing? I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. No, and I don't know that you do that. I think that
I think those options are open to their having faith in the newly elected official to go through that is enough in and of itself. It's going to be known if they don't do it and put up that much of a fight, because these are going to be agreed upon meetings during a public forum like this. So it's a situation that I don't know that you automatically are going to deduct the pay, because I just don't see a newly elected official being that resistance to the trade, especially when they have had an option if they're not able to attend the whole day.
I guess for me, I'm not sure what we can mandate to an elected official. So I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. I'm thinking maybe you're saying something like the first month's pay would be less unless they go to that meeting, and then it would be the same. That way you're not really docking the pay or making them pay for anything. It's just a matter of you got to do it and you get paid for it once you do it. I mean, we do that all the time with employees if they've got a certain printing they have to have and they don't do it right the first time or don't pass it the first time, then they got to pay for their own the next time. But as far as an elected official goes, I don't know how much we can actually mandate beyond what state statute allows. I mean, I don't get to tell you all what to do, so.
As much as you'd like to.
I don't know, Bill, what's your take on that? I don't know how much we can tell elected officials what to do as far as that goes.
No, I think we have to stay within the authority. Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
The council. Bill Digray, city attorney, did do that and failed to do that the last few times. I'm under sanctions already.
Can we dock his pay for that?
You want to stay within your statutory authority. The only authority that I'm aware of is that you do have subpoena power. If you have a council member that fails to appear at meetings and you get quorum issues. There's a statute. So I don't know that you would be doing that for a workshop. But if you didn't have a quorum, you could, because you could do that if you have a statute that allows.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Now, if you set parameters for pay, like you can do that, because the statute says you can set the compensation. Doesn't say salary, it says compensation.
Okay, good. So that was kind of my point, was I think that's the only way we would mandate anything would be that direction. So I don't think we can say you have to.
Beating the dead horse here.
But I think basically what I'm hearing from everyone is that a newly elected official, we are hopeful, is going to be more than willing to step up and learn what their duties are and go to the training. So I don't think it's really an issue other than that's the only way we can mandate it, is to say whatever that would be extra on your first month if you do go to that training. It's the only way I know to do it. Because again, like if you can't make them go to the training, so therefore they wouldn't have to pay for it for the schedule. So anyway, I guess we can just consider that. We don't have to have that done for the next meeting. So if you have any other thoughts on that, we can get back to that part later. Okay, so where are we at with...
Before you go, Cardoza, did you have something you wanted to say about Mayor Finn?
Because the mayor is a full-time position, although he's elected, I think his pay should be based on the same COLA that the employees in the city receive each year. you know, it's up to the council to decide his pay, but at least that way he's not going to go backwards. He'll stay at the same given COLA that the employees, at least, I think this year, Jared's 3%, 2.9.
Councilmember Cardoza, Jared, the city attorney, city treasurer.
You can be the attorney.
We can pretend. Yeah, it's 2.9% this
2.9. year. 2.9. And I would think that it would keep the mayor's pay at least equal to what the employees are getting each year, because it has become a full-time position.
I don't have any issue with that. One question I have for you. Do you think it would make sense to go back to when we set it and go ahead and do the COLA calculation for all the years that 4 years that we haven't done it, to then arrive at, okay, this is the new base, and then we're starting with COLAs from here, or even just to see what that is, and then we could decide, you know, we could have it prepared at the next meeting. We have both figures in place, and we would just decide which one we want to include.
Well, it looks like the closest city does in size is Eagle. They get 72,000. Our mayor gets 62, which originally he was going to get 60 until the council decided not to get their pay raise. So, with the permission of the mayor, I just assumed start it this year or 2020, the new budget. Just keep it clean instead of going retroactive. If you feel it's necessary, it would just. I think it would be cleaner that it's a full-time position, that our employees are getting a COLA increase, but our mayor isn't. So.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with doing it moving forward. I just didn't know if, you know, I guess using terms that we've used before, like we're already behind the curve on it. We've already like foregone it. And so it's, you know, just whether we even wanted to ask staff to do that calculation to figure out, well, if we had the foresight to include this from the beginning, what would it look like now? And maybe it's only a tiny amount, and so it's not really that big of a deal. But if it's, I don't know, I'm just curious about that number. So I didn't know if we wanted to consider that piece as well.
What's your feelings, Greg, Warren?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to look at both figures or whatever, but...
Retroactive?
I mean, I could go either way.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's really indifferent on either way we could go. I do think it'd be a cleaner slate, cleaner start, just to go ahead and start it.
So it sounds like at a minimum, for anybody who's taking notes, we're good with adding the COLA moving forward. And then can somebody with staff, Jared maybe, just do that, like provide us what the numbers would look like for, I think the pay raise went into effect in 2016 is when, or I guess when the salary position became a full-time gig. So just if we had added a COLA each time, what the salary would be going in prior to adding the 2020 COLA. Does that make sense?
Chris?
Just for, I don't know, food for thought, but the mayor's pay as it's listed includes benefits, and so he has not received COLA since the pay was put in place. Mm-hmm. And so for employee packages, that does include the COLA. So it may be worth consideration that he should have been receiving the COLA all this time and hadn't, you know, so.
That's what I just asked Jared to calculate.
Yeah.
Okay. So as far as the council goes, we are going to put together a recommendation, right, that's going to get sent to Chris.
Yeah, in terms of the job description, I will send that to Chris for dissemination and comment or whatever.
And then we will look at the change needed for 1.6.2 and 1.6.4.
Yes.
Council pay and description. Okay. Is there anything else we need on that?
Are we pretty well stuck on the
the per meeting pay and then the salary pay side, because I think we really haven't been able to really talk about or hash that out very much or very well. It's still a secret right now. I think going to the per meeting attendance would do a strong disservice to kind of what a salary position is, but if we're going to jump that route, it's important, I think, to look away from 30 meetings and go to the standard 26 that we're scheduled for, because the presumption is 4 additional meetings is something that really could dock a council's pay too, so if we don't do those 4 meetings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we planned them, like, I calculated them out where I didn't think it would be a question that you would hit all of them. That, like, we always do, at least to my recollection, at least one joint meeting per year. If we're talking about adding additional training stuff, depending on whether we think that can tag on to the end of a meeting or would need to be in you know, its own meeting. But we could definitely talk about, I didn't know if anybody was open to the idea of switching to a per meeting thing. I think part of the reason that it came to my mind as a possible compensation kind of package or the way that we might structure it was just, you know, attendance at council meetings is the most fundamental part of our job. And I know we talked about, like, talking with constituents outside of meetings and whatever, but it doesn't matter how much time you spend doing that. If you don't show up to council meetings, all of that time is pointless because you're not showing up to the venue where you are able to affect or share the feedback that you've gotten. And so that's, I guess, why I didn't think it was necessarily so crazy to switch to a per meeting pay structure. But I didn't know if there was enough, like, willingness to consider that we still are talking about it, or if it was just a for sure no from at least 2 people, so we were just kind of weren't going to entertain it anymore. I wasn't sure.
I didn't know if we were going to continue to entertain it, because I do feel like last meeting was a pretty rock solid 2-2. That was good. But if we're not going to entertain it,
well, I mean, I guess it's a question for you guys. We proposed it, so we're obviously open to
right,
it. So it's just a matter of whether upon reflection, it seems like something you guys would be interested in talking further about, or if you're still adamantly against it, or, you know, kind of how you guys come down.
Bill, did you have a comment?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Digbury, city attorney, if you want, we could draft 2 revisions of Kansas City Code 162. One would provide a payment per meeting proposal. The other would just be adding in the additional pay for the council president. But remember, if you were going to make this change, you're going to have to approve one or the other, or you're going to leave it the same at the August 6th meeting. And if you want to entertain the idea of a per meeting payment, then I think the model I sent to Councilman Van Mondahar has that kind of thing. I just would leave out the annual training and certification and that part. We would just add in this block. But that was like council president was like 400 per meeting and council members were 300. I mean, you could set whatever the amount is. Would be the way we do that. And then for the mayor's salary, that would be an amendment to section 152.
Okay. Is that something we want to do? Just have them draft it both ways? And are you still on the salary?
I think Ryan kind of brought it up. We're kind of beating a dead horse here, trying to get it to stand up. I think we ought to just come to a conclusion tonight and move on, be whatever it is. So,
had a visual of someone trying to get a dead horse to stand up. Now I don't even know what to do.
I thought the discussion had generalized itself down to just a pay raise for the chairman. I thought that's what we had finished on.
I apologize if I reopened that door. My intent was not to. I really thought you two were kind of like set in stone on that, so I kind of wanted to hash that out and work on that. But I think if we were able to move on from the discussion and kind of come to some term of agreement on these other things, it's good to move forward. You know.
Would it help if I slapped you alongside the head?
Well, it would help if you slapped me alongside the head before I continue down that road. Well, it's too late now.
All right. You want to do both or one?
It's wise to just stick with the one. I think I need to open that door.
I mean, what I'm hearing is that there would be no point because it would end up a 2-2 tie. So.
Okay, so we'll just do the draft it for one day. All right, very good. So I see that he's here now. I want to take a moment to recognize Michael Saldivar. He's our intern that's been working with Lisa and actually has had a chance to kind of go around and work with most all of the departments. And, so he's, you want to just step up here for a minute and tell us what it is you're working on and how you got into that?
So what do I say? I'm not really sure what to say.
Just say your name and address for the record.
Yeah.
And then you can say whatever you want.
Okay. So, my name is Michael Saldivar. I've been working closely with Lisa. She has done a really good job at getting me the experience that I need. The biggest thing that pushed me to do the internship here is to learn more about myself and what I want. So, that's the biggest thing. Right now I'm going to school.
CWI, right?
Yeah, CWI. For animal veterinary sciences. So I'm just trying to stick my foot in every single door that I possibly can to see what do I really want. So.
That's smart. We're spending a bunch of money doing something. Very cool.
Good. Well, thank you, and I just wanted everybody to get to look at you. So we appreciate you being here and learning what you're in. And he's also helpful to us. So. We do appreciate that.
Mike, just remember, this is the best city council you ever worked with, but the chief of police leaves a lot to be desired. Just remember that, and you'll get along fine.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Drive carefully on the way home. Okay, budget workshop. Jared Empey.
Fair City Council, Jared Empey, City Treasurer. Just wanted to give you an update from our last meeting. For the most part, most of the changes were pretty insignificant. So I don't know that I want to belabor every single change that we made. So, like, for one instance, on the first page under general fund, under revenue on the first page, we split out a couple administrative services. Apparently, some will be handled under the building department, some will be handled under planning and zoning. Second page under expenses, we updated prosecutorial services since we received that number last time. And then third page under public transit. So under senior center, we added a line item to kind of give a good description of what we were going to be providing with the senior center. So now it'll be, as was the request, $10,000 for public transportation. And then some other changes that we made were slight updates to benefits or wages and salaries. We got the final number. And then just some other small changes. So one other change that was made was under the latecomers fund. We had Excel linking error, so we updated that. So that was potentially one material change, was just we updated a number under irrigation main capacity fee. It was mistakenly linked. So then all the rest was basically just minor changes. We also updated under your capital expenditure schedule. So that big one that shows all the major projects that we did. Make sure to move the tree removal out and put under just regular operations and maintenance. And then since you approved the reallocation of the project last council meeting for the UTV and golf cart purchases that we've already begun to make, we took that off the schedule, so it will no longer be an authorized expenditure for the next year. Then, finally, we added a new fund. I guess I didn't quite understand exactly how we were going to display this, but Chief McDaniel helped me understand that this was going to be a new fund. So under Fund 51, we added a new fund called Police Impact Fee Fund. So that's a new item. Fund that was added from last time. So that's really all the changes that were made. One item that you need to be aware of for next time is that we're planning to pass our tentative budget. So that will give us enough time to give our two. Essentially, we have to publish in the paper, you know, on the news twice before we pass our final budget. So we may see a couple other changes that are just minor. For instance, some favorable changes that were discussed tonight, and potentially a couple other minor changes related to payroll, and then just some other immaterial items. And then after the tentative budget is passed, we may have one other change, just we may, with the final levy amount. Sometimes those final figures don't come in until after the tentative budget is passed. So with that, I just wanted to see if you had any final questions or any lingering questions from last time that weren't answered.
Okay, question for Jared.
I have a super... Yes. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's all right. Go ahead. Mine's not a question, it's a request. Spreadsheets.
On page 2 of 19, Jared.
Okay.
It looks like the group dental and the what's the other one? The workers' comp have almost. It looks like a 50% increase. Have you actually got confirmation on the expense of the vision and dental, or just more employees are taken?
Yeah, so Councilmember Cardoza, the reason for the workman's comp increasing so much was the fact that we were using old rates in our prior budgets, and so they were inaccurate. So that's the major reason for any fluctuation in that line item. And then, so our... If I remember right, you were asking about dental insurance.
Yes.
So with dental and life, dental and dental and vision, we group those together. We haven't seen much increase over the past few years, so we're budgeting for a potential increase. Should we see any?
Are you assuming a 50% increase, though, to go from...
So sometimes some of the reasons for these are the fact that we took a hard look at at pretty much everybody's payroll allocation. So sometimes someone will be split 50%, so just for a number, 25% general fund, 25% water fund, 25% sewer, 25% pressurized irrigation fund. And so we looked really hard with the directors and our payroll director, and we really tried to dial in exactly how much time people were spending devoted to a certain fund. And so some of those changes may reflect that as well, is that we changed some certain folks' payroll allocations.
Okay. On page 3 of 19, miscellaneous administration. Code or account number 01-6400. What do you consider transfer out on that account?
Let's see.
It's 1,097,259.
Yeah, so that number ties to your capital schedule. So if you see, so these, that number is getting transferred over to the capital projects fund for all these capital projects. And so that's what those agree to.
Okay.
So for instance, this 1,097,259, that's the general fund's portion that isn't parks related.
Why isn't it just carried forward or just rented? Why isn't it just carried as a capital improvement?
So if you're asking why we don't necessarily leave money in the capital projects fund, so sometimes we do. So if you look at your capital expenditures schedule, from time to time we do leave money in the capital projects fund. However, if projects get completed, and let's say we budget $50,000 to buy a truck, the truck comes in at $45,000, that remainder $5,000 gets transferred back to the general fund. So little things like that get transferred back. And then for ongoing projects like our park sinking fund or continued land improvements with the parks department, those can sometimes get carried over.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
You bet.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. When I don't know, would anybody else find it helpful if we asked Jared to include maybe below the expenditure, like just a couple lines below, something that lists out the revenue and then the expenditures and then kind of let us see more clearly whether we're dipping into contingency / carryover versus whether we've balanced the budget, like if exactly what we're bringing in is all that we're spending. That sort of thing, would anybody else find that helpful, or can you figure it out math-wise by just flipping back between the two charts? Because I'm able to accomplish that myself now, like looking through and comparing whatever, but I just didn't know if that would be something that would be helpful and kind of clearer for folks, or if we're okay with this.
I mean, I'm okay with how it is. I do think that would absolutely simplify kind of a bigger picture of it.
Yeah, so one kind of cheat you can use. I'm all about cheats in life, so if you want to just...
It's good to hear that from our financial... No, just kidding.
Well, I suppose that may have been taken out of context, but one item that you can always look at to see if we're dipping into contingency or not is, for instance, if you turn to page 3 and you look at contingency, it should be highlighted in yellow. If you look at the contingency number, so it's at 2.2 million. It's continuing to increase over time. So with that, you can kind of see if we're having to dip into contingency funds. basically whether we're making money or not in a simplistic term.
I guess another way that I would look at it would be to compare that number to the carryover number that's like the third actual number from the bottom. So it's 2.6 million roughly. And so subtracting whatever we're budgeting for contingency from carryover in theory would then tell us how much we are dipping into savings to cover requested expenses. So going beyond what we're just bringing in from revenue, right? Am I stating that more or less correctly?
Probably. I'm in an agreeable mood.
So. Yeah, so I guess stated differently, if we don't look at our carryover and we just look at the revenue that we're bringing in, we are bringing in $6,959,605. But then the budget that's being requested without budgeting a contingency amount is $7,270,164. So we're super rough math, like roughly $300,000 over, like we would be dipping into savings to cover $300,000. So if people are uncomfortable with that idea, that's how you would figure out the number that you would want to then look at the requested expenditures and figure out what do we need to cut if we're wanting to get exactly balanced, or are we okay with dipping in for that? I think that's kind of the crux of, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the budget last year was $7,265,000. Our actual expenses, which we need to thank the mayor and the city employees, were actually $5,914,000. So we've almost doubled the expenses this year compared to last year in actual. That's on page 6 of 19. Is that correct? While we're here, Mayor, I'd like to thank for your tight ship that you've run last year, this year.
Thank you, Richard. Yes.
You want to consider these in different sections. You have general carryover, the general funds. And then you have all these proprietary funds, water, sewer, irrigation, and so on. So you need to look at those separately when you're dealing with carryover, where you are expenditure. Separate and apart from anything else. So, looking at this, I encourage you to carry over where you stand in terms of looking at these separately.
Right, apologies. I was only speaking about the general.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wasn't clear, so thank you.
Yeah, I think staff does a tremendous job of pricing things out, making sure we're getting the best bang for our buck. It's something that we budgeted for, and it turns out something actually will work better, or maybe we've decided that we don't need that particular thing. We don't get it, and there's nobody. That's one reason that I'm completely against a use it or lose it type of budget for departments. So. I think they do a really good job of self-managing that.
So about $1,200,000 difference that was not spent, that could have been spent. So.
Well, but that, I mean, we did end up, if you take contingency out of it, we actually spent more than we budgeted in the general fund. We budgeted like almost 1.7 million for contingency, and it looks like our actual is only $123,000.
Excuse me, Council President Bonnehart, are you looking at so page 2 of the contingency when you're referencing the
highlight? Yeah, just to the right of the highlight, yes.
Yeah, so the 123 is what we are expecting to pay by the end of the year, and then the 1.6 is what we projected to see available.
Right, so we spent like 1.5 million of the money we thought we would have left over at the end of the year.
So actually, this contingency number is really just a plug number that makes the whole budget equalize. It's not
right.
Necessarily that we're spending the money.
It's the carryover, right? I mean, it's essentially right. We go from on the revenue sheet, whatever carryover is, we automatically list it as contingency. It's like extra. Yeah.
Yeah. Jared uses it to cover his miscalculation.
There needs to be like a sarcasm font for a minute so that people know when when the insults are jokes. Okay, no questions from me.
Good. Everybody else good?
Good.
Was there anything on the purchase list that you want to talk about, the one that's on the board now? So those items were all included in this budget as we see it. So those were the items that you can, so to speak, play with and cut. But, I mean, I think we're in pretty good shape, so if we are going to get some of this stuff done, I think this is a really good year to do it. And then the other thing is the 3%. What's Council's thoughts on taking a 3% increase? Is that added in here?
So
3% and then new construction roll.
Oh yes, that's already added in here.
Okay.
Since we had always done that in the past, I just automatically assume that that's what we wanted to
do. Yeah, I mean, my concern is always making sure that we have recurring revenue that's going to cover recurring expenses. So,
right.
You know, making sure that with the property tax revenue that we're able to cover things like our public safety expenditures, law enforcement, prosecutorial, animal control, like those things that we know we will have year after year. I think it appears that we're good in that regard. If we were having to dip into our, you know, carryover or our contingency funds to cover those recurring expenses, you know, eventually that could become a problem. But it appears we're still pretty good in that regard. So that's my biggest concern.
I'm okay with the 3. I think it's wise to do.
Yeah, I should have clarified. The 3 will allow us to continue to be good in that regard.
Okay. One. You're thinking hard.
No, I I do agree. I think, you know, I understand the importance of moving forward and being able to continue to support this type of outlook on the budget. And there's no reason in my eyes not to get 3%. So.
And I think the one good thing that we can still hang our hat on is that we don't have any outstanding liabilities there. We don't have any bonds or any of that out there that we're having to ask people to pay for us, so we're able to operate the city and keep
doing that without having to raise everybody's taxes all the time by asking them for more money.
Thanks, Jared.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it very much. And timeline, where did you say we were at? We got to be next meeting. We need to have this finalized. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So with the tentative budget, that needs to be through next council meeting so that we can give our two notices through the QML, the news, and then our final budget will be past the first council meeting in September.
Good. All right. Very good. Thank you. And then finally, we have consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-25, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings in enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors SDN LLC real property and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto or pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-25.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-25. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-25.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve ordinance 2019-25. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Bubin-Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Mayor Council announcements. Is there anything anybody wants to talk about? We will, Chief and I went out to the IDCAP prison out here and went to their annual 4th of July barbecue, and they have a new warden, and he's made some changes that make it seem like things are going to continue to do good out there. They, I think they do a pretty fantastic job of providing the inmates with the things that they need to do to be successful, and one of the programs they're implementing now is they've hired a guy to come in and actually help them to locate jobs more efficiently, so. They're doing good things out there and continue to be moving forward. Anyone else?
I'm not sure if it was Bobby or Bob, but somebody had a crew downstairs or downtown today cleaning all the plants. They've done, the two boys did a great job. I mean, they were pretty thorough, so.
I think that was the city attorney.
Was it? You did a good job. I need to be reimbursed for the two water bottles that I gave them, though, because...
All right. Well, very good. Thank you all very much. Meeting adjourned.